Speaking of which, Womyuan, it is a privilege to have you. I've been just racking my brain how to honor Womyuan. And it's, but one can, and we laugh, but I believe there's a culture of honoring the Word of God that is very important. But many times us as Westerners, we take the yin and kwas. But thank you for being real. That's been such a privilege. Edna will always refer to it. The first time we met you guys, we actually saw you from the back, and you were busy butchering bread there in the tea room. And there's just so much that I've learned from you in this past year and a half. It feels like it's been a decade. And it's not because you ever repeat your stories. There's always fresh testimonies. Well, not for me. Tani Rihanna, she'll know. But there's always fresh testimonies and new stories. And I would give what that as I grow older that I will always have fresh testimonies. So thank you for always having fresh testimonies. And then I want to encourage you, and I'm going to pray for you now, that till the day that you go home, that there will always be fresh bread, there will always be fresh manna, fresh testimonies in your life and Rihanna's life, that you will always bear fruit until one day you get old. Okay. Father God, it's such a privilege to have this amazing couple in our house, in our community, in our church, and in our lives. We thank you for them. We thank you for Womyuan specifically. And thank you, Lord, that he, by your grace, always has a fresh testimony. Because I believe he not only works with children, but I believe he also works as a child. Thank you for his childlike faith and childlike heart. It has blessed me spiritually, emotionally, and actually financially as well, Father God. Thank you for a testimony of a home of where he just went out and knocked and asked. And thank you, Lord, that faith, like a child, Father God, will just grow. And that, as I said, Lord, we honor him and we thank you that he will always have fresh faith testimonies until he goes to heaven one day. We ask for more, Lord, more in Jesus' name. Bless him this morning. Amen.
I've already said good morning to all of you at some time this morning, so can we just pray? Yes, Lord, I just want to thank you for that word which your thief has just repeated when we started this congregation, Lord, and you said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And Lord, this is what I pray for this morning, and thank you for the word that Petri shared, Lord, that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And Lord, thank you that you are very present here this morning. And Lord, we sang with our lips, you are the one we love, you are the one we adore. And yeah, we even might have sang it with our emotions. But Lord, this morning I pray that by your spirit, you will give us a revelation in our spirit of what it really means. And Lord, I just trust that you will just anoint my words, Lord. Yeah, not my words, anoint your words and just kill my own words. So the words being said this morning will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so can we have the title? I just want to share two things with you first. One is very much in the flesh, and the other one is very much in the spirit. This morning when I dressed, I see Karin is looking at my shoes. I had a choice to put on black shoes like I used to wear when I was an elder in my previous church. All these shoes. And I first put these on. The Spirit of God said, put these on. So I put them on and said, Rana, what do you think? She says, man, you must look funky. It's a young church. They don't want to see you with black shoes. They want to see you funky. You will come over much better when you're funky looking. Okay. Do I look funky? Yeah. Amen. Amen for that. That's the first thing. Okay, that's in there the flesh stops now for the rest of the sermon. The next thing is, you know, I had the privilege this week, or we had the privilege of having an amazing couple in our house for a full week with their three children. My daughter-in-law is a worship pastor in the Rosebank Church in Joburg. And 5 years ago, when our daughter couldn't have a baby, our daughter and son-in-law visited Sue Marie. And she called a couple to come and pray for them for praying to have a child. And 1 month later, Yeah, 1 month after she prayed, my daughter fell pregnant, after everything failed. Now, this couple spent the last week with us. They were Hindus. They come from a Hindu background. But the Lord has given them the most amazing prophetic ministry. They're actually leading the prophetic ministry in that huge church. And I tell you guys to have two prophets in your house for 24/7. I feel like a prophet myself. I feel like Saul was prophesying when he came amongst the prophets. That's how I feel this morning. And they shared amazing things with us too about their own ministry as well, prophetically. And I'm so encouraged by what they told me. But I won't tell you that today. When it happens, you'll see it happen. But this morning, Pietri came to me and he said, "Well, Johan, I think I've got a word for this morning." And the word was, "In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy." And I was not surprised, because that's my sermon. I was not surprised, because why should I be surprised if we're busy with spiritual things that God will put all together? So that's what I want to share with you. Okay. Right. The secret to the Christian life. You know why I want to talk on this? A few reasons. I recently spoke to a pastor and he said, there was a couple in this church that was so committed. By the way, it was a shofar church, not another church. And then they moved to New York, and now here they totally backslidden. They're not serving the Lord at all. And in my heart I said, God, how is that possible? How can you have loved the Lord and now suddenly move to another city and now you're in? And then I asked myself, what is the secret that I myself, after 50 years, I got saved when I was 16, 17, still serve you, still love you, and so many other people that I know? And what is it that really attract me more than gifts, more than knowledge? What attracts me? What is the most attractive thing I see in people? And I knew what it was. It was the presence of Jesus in that person. And I can tell you, I know people where Jesus is so present through my lifetime. And these were the people that left a print on my life. Not the ones with the amazing gifts or ministries necessarily, but the ones, when I looked into their eyes, I could see Jesus. Okay, so next slide. I'm sure you've all heard this when you were saved. You must grow now. And the way to grow as a Christian, they give you a list of things, eh? Church, scripture, prayer, tithing, as we had this morning, witnessing, and praying in tongues. Just a few. And I'm sure you've all tried it. I've tried it as well. And if I ask this morning whether you have in some time of your life felt that these things didn't work for you, if you were honest, I'm not going to ask you to do it, but if you were really honest, there should not be one hand down. You all put your hands up, including my own, and said, Lord, I've tried it, but there were times that it didn't work for me. And that's natural. I tell you now why it's scriptural, totally scriptural. And I'm so guilty because I'm standing here and I gave a sermon or a talk a few months ago on the Bible, on scripture. And you know, I just thought when I left here, how many of you were under condemnation? Because I told you, I read the Bible once a year. And I spend an hour with the Lord each morning. And I'm sure you all set your clocks the next week. And perhaps for 3 days you managed. And then you said, I'm not doing your hand, sorry. I can't keep up. I'm not even going to try. And then you call to prayer meetings. And you come once or twice, and then you fall along the wayside. Or you go to cell, and you fall along the wayside. Or you're a cell leader, and honestly, God, Lord, I don't have a chance for you. What moet ek elke aand vir die mense gee? It's, ek weet net nie. You know, Lord, I want to give up. And then Stephen, I'm going to share, because Stephen also ignited something in me one evening in the small group when he said, when last were you obedient to the Lord? And I thought, what a question to ask, Stephen. The last time you should have been obedient to the Lord was 1 second ago. With all respect. Okay, next slide. Some more secrets. Serve the Lord. As we heard in our previous congregation, people get saved and then they serve the Lord. Do Bible school, go to seminary, learn the faith walk, learn the faith rest life, learn the exchange life. I don't know what half of these means. I just got it from a book. Spiritual warfare, reclaiming the gifts, wonders, and miracles. And then the last one, join us because we have it. It's always a church that will tell you, just join us. You'll find it with us. Now, I've got news for you today. All these things are good, but they should have their place and they should be placed in perspective. And I'll tell you now why I say that. Next, I'm going to leave you this morning with just three messages. I'm going to talk a bit longer, but there's three messages I want you to leave here with this morning. And I believe I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. That our spiritual life, our Christian walk with the Lord is a spiritual thing. It's not a thing of the flesh. You know, when we were born again, we were born of the Spirit. Have you heard of the gifts of the flesh? I've seen them as well. The gifts of the, or the fruit of the flesh. Have you seen that? Yes, I've seen it in my own life a lot. We all know that. That's not spiritual. The Christian life is a spiritual life. Everything is spiritual. There's no flesh in it. And you know, another thing why I'm giving this talk this morning is because I heard from some of you guys who said somebody was hurt in church and they never went back. Or they took offense in church. Let me tell you today, if anybody was hurt in church or took offense, it was in the flesh. Either in themselves or in the person who hurt them. Because in the spirit, they can never be hurt and there can never be offense. I know it's a terrible thing that I'm telling you this morning, but that is the truth. So if you're offended or hurt, just look at your own heart and go and talk to the person who've offended you or hurt you, and somewhere the flesh has kept in. So the first point I want to make is our walk with the Lord is spiritual. Okay, next one. How did Jesus live the Christian life? Did he live it by going to the synagogue? By praying every morning very early? He did, by the way. Or by reading the scripture? He didn't have to read the scripture. He was the scripture. So how did he live the Christian life? Can I tell you? Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. Who's talking here? Jesus. Jesus said, I cannot lead the Christian life. He said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And then he said again, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for always do those things that please him. You know what? Jesus did not say a single word and did not do a single miracle out of his own. He did it through the power that came from his heavenly Father. This is profound, guys, and it's only by through revelation that you can really take this. Even Jesus, the Godhead. So Jesus lived in unending, constant fellowship with his Father. He was not separated from his Father for one second. That is how Jesus lived the life that we read from in the Bible. You know, Jesus was both spirit and flesh. He was man as well. But nothing that you read in the Bible was of his flesh. Everything, when you read what Jesus taught and what he did, he said, it came from my Father. Okay. So now where do we come in? Next one. Oh, you must cry. Iemand net hallelujah skree asseblief. Hallelujah! We cannot live the Christian life. Isn't that a release? Because all the things I showed you at the beginning, those lists, you know what is the fatal flaw in all of them? It is that I must do it. I must go to church. I must be a cell leader. I must read the Bible. I must pray more. I must do this, I must do that, I must love. You know how much Retief has spoken about love? Have you often felt when you came back the next Sunday that, shoo, you know, I heard about love, but if I look at this week, I need another sermon on love. You know why that is? The moment we try to do anything out of ourselves, even to love. You know, when Retief asked me this morning to pray for Zoe, I'm going to tell you this. In the flesh, I had something I wanted to pray. I had something very nice, very scriptural. The Lord stopped me. And he said, pray what I'm telling you to pray. And what the Lord revealed to me was this tremendous love that he had for Zoe, which is the same love that I have for my child. You know, and that is just to be connected to God, to be connected to the Lord, not to try even to pray, to try to pray out of your own. So we cannot do it, and it's scriptural, because Jesus said in John 15:5, for without me, you can do nothing. So don't even try to be a good Christian. Don't even try to be a good cell leader. Don't even try, Pietri, to be a good worship leader. Stop it immediately. And don't try to preach, Johan, because you can't. I cannot. We can't do anything. Jesus said it. We can do nothing. Isn't that a release? I prayed that for you one evening, and this was before I thought of this sermon. I was praying for you, and I got the impression you were heavily burdened. And the Lord said, I must tell him that he can't do anything. But through Christ, he can do everything. Okay. So, Christ lives the Christian life through us. We don't live the Christian life. He lives the life through us. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Only fruit is fruit of the Spirit. He said, I can do all, the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. It's a alles of niks wet. It's a all or nothing. There's nothing in between. And the third one, I love this verse in Daniel. It actually, this is in the last days. This is the prophecy of Daniel. It says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And I want to thank you, Retief, for what he said this morning. I take that word of New Testimonies, because the word says that the people who know their God will do great things through God, through them, not they themselves. Okay, the next. Now, I just want to say something about this, getting things in order. You know the things that I mentioned at the beginning? And I like, by the way, what the word that Shofar calls it, the programs, they call it encounter. What does encounter tells you? It says an encounter with a person. It's not encounter, just a lot of knowledge that is put in your head. They want you to encounter the Spirit of God. They want to encounter Jesus. I love that word. I don't know who thought it up, but it's a wonderful word. But those things aren't wrong. But you must put it in the right context. And I'm just going to give three things here in our Christian life. The first one is obedience. Did you know that Christian obedience can be totally out of the flesh? Totally. You know, if I want to force something on you, which I believe the Lord has told me not to do, and the Lord hasn't told you that, and I expect you to do it, I'm expecting you to do it in the flesh. So, obedience, what comes before obey is love. Jesus didn't say, obey me and then you will feel you love me. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. So obedience, Stephen, I'm just thinking what you said that evening, is a 100% total 24/7 process of being in connection with God. And being obedient by just being here this morning, by just coming to whatever you had to do, that was, but it must come through a relationship with Jesus. What about witnessing? Just look at Jesus with Peter at the end. He asked him three times. First things, before he said, feed my sheep and look after my be a shepherd, he said, "Do you love me?" 3 times. He made sure that the basis of that relationship is right, that it's based in love. And I was here myself giving a sermon on we all had to go out. And, you know, I was taking it from the point that we all know where it should start, but you can take it in the wrong way. Like, we all know of people who are on the streets all the time knocking on doors because they're forced by religion, not because they have a love or a compassion for people. So it must start with a love relationship. And then the third one is holiness. I want to tell you this morning, if you're struggling with anything in your life, don't even try to overcome it. You can't. It's only God that can do it in you. And you know, this morning, Lord was so faithful. I was reading Psalm 130, my psalm for the day. And I thought, what verse can I use to tell you that this is from the Bible? The Lord gave me the last verse of that psalm. You know what the verse says? My arms are filled with salvation. And I will ransom you of all your problem, with all your sin. I will ransom you. No, you won't ransom yourself. And I must tell you, it's a bit of a joke. I've got a friend, a very dear friend. He's actually, next year we're going on a trip together. But he's been a total alcoholic. I can't tell you how bad he was. He was actually drinking himself to death. And then he went to I won't say the name of the organization. You know which one. It's got two AA. He went there. And he said, you know, Johan, they're good principles. And I actually saw people through sheer willpower and good input into their minds overcoming drink. But then I would go to the one guy who was delivered from drink by his own willpower. And he said every 5 years he would have a party and he would raise his glass of Fanta with a very sad face. He said, and I have 5 years clean. And he said, Johan, there was no joy. It was just glass of Fanta and another 5 years. You know what the Lord did with this guy? He delivered him in a moment from drink. And he turned him around and he filled him with the joy of the Lord. That's the difference between trying to save yourself, deliver yourself, or allowing God to deliver you. Okay. Right, so that's just about all. So, you know, while I was preparing this, one morning I was reading this part, you all know it very well, in Acts 4, where the lame man was sitting at the temple and Peter and John came past, ne? And then he asked for money. And then Peter and John said, we don't have gold and silver, but what we have, we'll give you. And they touched him, and it's so beautiful. It said the man leapt to his feet and he started dancing. You know, if you could never walk, and so he was born like that. And suddenly you could leap with joy. And then, of course, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were very, very unhappy about this, wanted to put them in jail, and said, by what power and authority did you do this? So they said. And then this wonderful verse, I don't know whether you've ever read this verse. When the council of Pharisees and Sadducees saw the boldness of Peter and John and could see that they were obviously uneducated non-professionals. That's what I am, as I'm standing here in front of you, by the way. They were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them. Have you ever read that? Those words? What being with Jesus had done for them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees realized that these guys have been with Jesus. That's why it happened. Nah. Okay, next. Now, you know what is the worst part of this sermon is that I must now tell you how to move from where we started to where we should be. And the moment I do that, I become another item on your list. You hear what I say? That's why it's only the Spirit of God that can give you a revelation of how we come to that point where Christ lives his life through you. I can't do it. And, you know, I'm really in my heart. That's my desire for myself and for each of us. Because it will be a total release. But I'll just tell you what happened in my life. But this doesn't mean it has to be your way or the same or whatever. But for me, one thing is, now I must be so careful, because the moment I say time with the word, you think of the clock again tomorrow, 5 o'clock, you know, and at least an hour with the word, you know, or you think of Bible study, or you think, you know, you can study the Bible all your life and miss Jesus in the process. Did you know that was possible? It's possible. You can be so clever in the word. I know people who know the word. I know even Muslim people who know the word, but they have no revelation knowledge. So the word, without connecting with Jesus, is not worth it. So what is a tool? How can you connect through Jesus when you sit with the word, even if it's only for 5 minutes? Can I give you some tip? Start meditating, even if it's only on one verse. And take that verse with you through the day and through the rest of your life. And pray the word. You don't have to read chapters and chapters of the Bible. And you know, the other morning, I was not in a good space. The nice thing about Retief is he knows it when I'm not in a good space. He can pick it up immediately. And sometimes I email him, and oh, I just SMS him and say, please pray for me. I'm not, you know. But I was not in a good space. But before I read, now, you know, I read the Bible consequently. I don't page around. This was my scripture for the day, but I haven't read the scripture yet. I had a very bad pain in my shoulder. I'm struggling still with the pain in my shoulder that morning. And I start praying before I open the word. You know what I prayed? You won't believe it. I prayed, yes, Lord, I'm so down this morning, and you must really lift me up. And I have this pain, but Jesus, thank you that through your stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. This is the word I read just after that. Persecuted from my earliest youth and faced with never-ending discrimination, but not destroyed. My enemies have never been able to finish me off. And then I couldn't believe when I read the next verse. Though my back is cut to ribbons with their whips, the Lord is good. This refers to Jesus, to the 40 strips whips, for where he paid for our sicknesses and our illnesses. And you know, this is a living relationship that we have with the Word of God. And you take that word with you during the day, and when you have a difficult boss or things go bad at work, you just remind the enemy that this morning Jesus told you, you've been persecuted, okay, from your earliest youth, but you will not be destroyed, and that your enemies will never be able to finish you off. You know what that means? That means the word becomes alive in you. And who is the word? The word is Jesus. The word can't be separated from Jesus, but this is a different type of Bible reading. This is not just reading it to, you know, quote scriptures or to connect scriptures or to do all sorts of weird and wonderful things with the word. This is a living relationship with the word. Right. So that is one thing that I would really ask, encourage you to practice, that sort of relationship with the word. And then the second one is practicing the presence of God. Now, this is a difficult one. You know, our previous pastor's wife, in whom I could see Jesus, I mean, when I looked at her, I just saw the Lord. She said she actually knew what Jesus looked like. She saw his face. Now, I am not one of those lucky ones. I have never seen Jesus' face. But you know, David said in the Psalms, Lord, I keep you in front of me all day. I behold you. And then there's this beautiful verse, which you all know again, very well known in 2 Corinthians 3, that says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding, again that word beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what this means? You know, we often call things names like faith, and then we see faith as something, I don't know what we see faith as like, a definition or a verse, a scripture verse, or, but you know what faith is? Faith is nothing more or less than walking with the Lord every moment. Because if you are confronted with a difficult circumstances, what do you do? You just call on the name of the Lord, because he's in you and he's with you. And immediately faith is released. So we must come into that mode where we I want, from Sunday to Sunday, or from Sunday to cell group to the rest, we see it as sort of milestones. You know, we just get a little bit of water enough to revive us for next. We're almost at the end of our tether when we come to the. It should never be like that. We should be as full of the Lord when we cut into the service as when we left it the previous Sunday. And the only way we can do that is by practicing the presence of God in our lives. Again, difficult to tell you how to do it. Ask the Lord to show you. I can't even tell you. I just know I had to grow in this. And, you know, I once heard about Andrew Murray, this godly man, was crossing Adderley Street. I told the cell group one evening, I'm repeating that now, sorry, with a friend, and suddenly he stopped in the middle of the road. And the friend said, "Why are you stopping, Andrew?" And he said, "I suddenly lost contact." What does that tell you? He was in contact with the Lord 24/7. And he realized the moment he lost contact, he first wanted to renew it. You know, there was a, if you have time to read or get this little book, there was a, it's one of the classicals in the Christian literature. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. And it was written by Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a monk. I was a priester in the Catholic Church before the Reformation in the Middle Ages. And nobody knows today even who the Pope was. Well, no, I'm sure they can look it up in the archives, but if you ask anybody who the Pope was, nobody would know. Or who the priests were, or who this were. But Brother Lawrence wrote a little book about his relationship with Jesus. He called it Practicing the Presence of God. You know what Brother Lawrence said? Whether I hike the leaves together in the garden, whether I wash the dishes, whether I go to town to buy wine for the priests, whatever I do, I'm in contact with God. So, that is what God wants for us. The next thing, yes, and then I just want to say something about fellowship. You know, I'm a regular attender of the so-called prayer army on a Thursday evening. And I must be honest with you, I've prayed a lot and we've prayed a lot, and I haven't seen the results of many of the prayers being prayed. If what I've prayed had come to pass for me to see, there wouldn't be a chair. This place would have been filled to the back, and it was would be fully packed. That's what I prayed for. So I haven't seen that yet. But I know God has heard the prayer. But you know what I have seen? I've seen God working in my life. Because every time when we connect up with a brother or sister and pray, what does happen? The Lord says, He's in our midst. How can you get to know a person better than when he's in your midst? And it's always like that. You don't have to dung it up or whatever. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name in the Spirit, I am present. And when the Lord is present, you will get to know Him. You will learn to hear His voice. You will grow in recognizing His voice and just getting to know Him better. So we come to the prayer meeting for the church and for the community, all of that, but we also come to the prayer meeting for ourselves, because that's where the Lord builds us up. Okay, last. Oh, you know, this is beautiful. I want to leave you with this. And then I'm going to leave you with a little picture. I read this week. I've read it before, and every time I read this, it touches my heart. You know, David was never allowed to build. He was never allowed to build the temple. The Lord said he had too many fights and wars and stuff. But He said, "Your son will build the temple." So Solomon built the temple. And the day when the temple was built, completed. Solomon said they must remove the ark from the tabernacle to the new temple. But just, you know, the tabernacle manifests the presence of God. Look, as the priests are returning from the inner sanctuary, a bright cloud fills the temple. The priests have to go outside because the glory of the Lord is filling the entire building. You know, when Francisco was talking this morning about the building, what did he say? Francisco said, we are a spiritual building for the Lord. What is the inner sanctuary? That is that connection with Jesus. Every time you connect with Jesus, you are in the inner sanctuary. And that glory spills over your body. I mean, again, our previous pastor's wife. Sorry, I'm not talking about Edna now, but I'm just talking about that. Edna is just as beautiful. But that woman, when I looked in her face, she never had a facelift, I promise you, but she said the Holy Spirit gave her a facelift. But you know, the glory of the Lord was on that woman, and it was such a beauty. And I know it came from the relationship and continuous presence of God in her life. So, now a little joke I want to share with you. You know, I told you, not in a religious way, for many years, in order to miss the traffic, I went very early to work, and then I had my quiet time at work for an hour. I spent an hour, sometimes longer, in the presence of God. And then my patients start coming in. You know what the first three patients called me? Pastor. Of all things. Pastor. I said, oh, sorry man, why do I say that now, they say. And from the fourth one, it's my old title again. And when it started becoming a habit, I thought, yes, but there's something happening here. But Lord, why does the glory disappear so soon, I asked. It's almost like Moses coming from the mountain, you know, with the glory. And then after, you know, he put on a mask because the glory was gone. But you know what? When we have spent time in the presence of God, there's a light shining over us and through us, and people can see it. And I want to leave you with this last picture. What is spiritual growth? Not how many hurdles you've crossed. Hoeveel hekkies jy oor is nie. Encounter 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, you must do them. But that, without connecting with God, will not bring you to where you have to be. You know, all those things I said at the beginning are wonderful revelations of the Spirit of God. The faith life and the rest life and all of those things. But not, you know what we tend to do with things? I was so impressed the other evening with Corneille Becker's talk. He said, you know what's the problem with all the groot lewings? People see miracles and then they put the miracle maker on a little pedestal and then the miracle stops. That's what we do. We want to make of, it's like the gold snake in the desert. We want to lift up every, and the moment we do that, Jesus disappears. So we must be very careful in our walk with the Lord in everything, that nothing takes his place because it's all about him. So what is spiritual growth? If you leave this building this morning, I'll tell you what spiritual growth is. Every time you connect with Jesus in a spiritual way or his word, the lights go on. And every time that connection is broken, the lights go off. You know what is spiritual growth? When the lights are on for longer. Amen. I just feel in my spirit this morning, before when we prayed for this service, you know, it's such a simple message because you know everything. You know all the verses. There's not a single one of you who didn't know any of the verses that I mentioned here this morning. But what we need revelation. We need the Spirit of God to bring that, make that part of us. And if you can just leave this morning with three things. The first is that spirituality is spirituality. The Christian walk is spiritual. There's nothing else. The second thing is me and you can't lead that life and live it. And the third is that Jesus desires to live that life through you. Thank you. Latif, I don't know whether you want to continue.
That's just such a confirmation of something that God is doing in my heart. Thank you, Miran. Wow. Can we give him a hand? That is thankfulness out of the flesh for something in the spirit to give you a hand. So it's not worth much, but we are really thankful for that. And I believe he's just nailed it in there. Let's just close our eyes and I trust God just to come and cement this in our hearts. Jesus, thank you that I can just come forward and I can just firstly come and lay dead works at your feet. I just come and lay striving and dead works at your feet now. And thank you that Johan and your word and your Holy Spirit have just reminded me that I'm not able to do any of these things. But what an honor, what a privilege when you do it through us and with us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us for the shortcomings. Thank you, God, you sent your Son for us and for our shortcomings. If there's any of you guys and they want to make a long story of it, I just believe it's very easy. But if you feel in your life you might have been striving and there's a bit of religiousness and maybe a couple of dead works and trying to perform it out, trying to do Christianity without Christ. If that's you, don't you want to raise your hand and we can just pray for freedom? Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for these hands. And thank you that we can bring these dead works, this striving to you. We just lay it down. We ask, Holy Spirit, thank you that you pour out perfect love in our hearts. Perfect love. Perfect love. All of those especially that raise their hands. Perfect love. Perfect love. Yes. Many times in this world we need to perform for love. We need to perform for affection. We need to perform for affection and acceptance. And that spills over to the kingdom, to the spiritual, to our spiritual lives, where we do part flesh, part spirit. And we think we need to accomplish these things by performing to God. And we've said it before, but thank you, God, just for freedom in this moment. Thank you for your love that brings forth freedom in every heart. I'm going to give a half a minute. I believe God again wants to speak to each one personally through the Holy Spirit. Give a revelation of what He thinks of you, the way He sees you, which I believe will kick that fear and that striving in the face. So we just take a half a minute. And I thank you, God, that through your Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, you will speak to our hearts in this moment. I just believe the Holy Spirit lays the falling of my heart and the secret of Christianity and getting it right, so to speak, as Mian said, it's God's presence, it's Christ Himself. And even in getting to Christ, there's either striving or there's surrender. And I do believe that God calls us to that grace of surrender. And I want to just lastly give you an opportunity, if you would like to be led by God to places and a place of surrender, to be connected, to be continually connected, raise your hand and we can pray. If you want the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to lead you to a place of surrender, even though it looks like a risk sometimes, it looks scary. Thank you, Lord, that we know that children of a loving Father is children that can trust and children that can surrender. We ask for that now, Lord, for each and every one of us that raised our hand. We choose the path of surrender. And we ask, Lord, through your word, through your presence, through your Holy Spirit, through fellowship, and even other stuff, that you will bring us to that place that we can more and more surrender to you. Forgive us and we repent for doing it ourselves. As pastor of this church, I come and I repent on behalf of myself and whoever has led this church, Father God, or the leaders of this church, wherever we have strived or tried or used the flesh to accomplish the things of the Spirit. I repent. I repent as a father where I've tried to do the things, Christian things in my home, in my house, in my marriage, out of the flesh. And I surrender both my house, my relationships, my friendships, and this church. I surrender it to you, God. And I say, Christ, have your way. Christ, take us to a place of surrender so that we can be connected and changed in the presence. In Jesus' name. Amen.